The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. How much of a leash are you giving the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley? We saw the debut of Jeff Hafley's defense. Caveat. Against one of the better offenses, rather, in the league. Right? Do we all agree that at the end of the day, when this all shakes out, end of the season, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be one of the best offenses in the league, if for no other reason than the addition of Saquon Barkley makes them that much more imposing?
They will be top five?
Probably.
Top five team?
Yep.
So as you sit here and judge Jeff Hafley's defense after a week one performance, do you take that into consideration? Do you sit there and go, well, this is one of the better offenses they're going to see this season. And it's week one. And Chewy, you, better than the rest of us, know how install works and you know what you start with and what you finish with. So is it too early to be out on Jeff Hafley's defense?
Way too early. Because they figured it out. I thought he was dominating the first quarter of the game. Had Hurts confused. Hurts had a few picks. They didn't look crisp. And then Kellen Moore's a good coach, and he made the adjustments and figured it out. And then they started to get a little gashy, right? But this team cannot create pressure with four. Sorry, they just can't. So they have to do things to create pressure. But no, I'm not out on Hafley at all.
What grade do you give the defense?
Keeping in mind the opponent?
If you want to.
B minus. Okay, they gave them three turnovers, and they did nothing with it.
Yeah, and, right? But one of the turnovers was, it's not like the Packers made a great play. Center snapped the ball early. You know, like the other two, yeah, you get credit for those.
You got to take advantage of mistakes by your opponent, though.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. The offense didn't take advantage of that, certainly. But I'm not like, oh, man, they had three turnovers. Defense, the two interceptions, sure, I'll give you credit for. You don't get credit for... It's not like you forced that fumble.
Well, what grade would you give them? It sounds like you were pretty disappointed.
C minus.
Really? Okay. I just thought they started the game out really well.
How did stopping the run on your way to the quarterback work out for them?
Not great.
There's...
Again, I was hoping to see something a little more different. So I was disappointed. We got 16 games left. I'm not saying fire Jeff Hafley here.
No.
I was hoping it would be more different than it was. Is that bad? I mean, I was hoping maybe they'd be better against the run. I was hoping they could maybe get that stop at the end of the game.
We said, would you take, what did we say, 120 or 140 yards all the way to the bank?
130.
And they were pretty close to that.
144.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little gashy. Is Jair elite anymore?
No.
Is Jair a top five corner in the league?
No.
Because
he's still getting paid like a top five corner.
Yeah.
So to your point earlier about guys who are getting paid top dollar need to perform like top dollar players, he would be falling short in that category.
They don't have any studs on this defense.
They targeted Jair more than the other corners on the team. Mm-hmm. That's not a great
but
time.
It was also with A.J. Brown.
Yeah, but he's where
Devonta
do you put A.J. Brown?
Still running around out there. He's still very good.
And he still had a pretty good game, too.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Devonta Smith.
Yeah, he had a good game.
It was
unfamiliar,
quiet.
As you know. Yeah. This is going to be a forever joke here on Jen. And if you don't get it, you haven't been listening to the show
long enough.
Is A.J.
Brown a top five receiver in the league?
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, I can tell you this. Jair can't cover Tyreek Hill.
Ish. Oh, no.
Yeah. There's just some... That's why I said, and it's way too early here, but I still just think they're another year out. They're a playoff team, unless there's disaster, but they're still a playoff team.
I'm hoping they're a playoff team.
But you got to create pressure with four, and they just don't have that.
Well,
right
and there
now.
Was that stretch of the game, guys, where they scored on four straight possessions.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to try and overreact, because were they really trying to get to the passer? It seemed like they thought they could win the ball by making Jalen Hurts throw the ball. They could win the game.
Sure, but as that's like not working, maybe try something different.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought like the first half was way better than the second half in terms of like, what did Saquon Barkley have in the first half? It was like under 50 total yards.
Yeah, he didn't light it up. Neither back lit it up.
In the first half.
In the first half.
Yeah, and then in the second half. But again, that's kind of how Saquon works too. That's how the best backs work. Kind of get a little bit stronger as the game goes on.
If Love didn't get hurt, I would be below yada, yada, yada. If there's a below yada, 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 that's where I would be. I would be like, no preseason, first game sloppy, Love not dialed in. Who cares?
So then related to the defense, which is, you know, different from, separate from Jordan Love's injury, that's how you feel about it? Yada, 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 below yada, yada, yada about the defense?
This defense, Chewy, has to play better if you want to, if you want to keep your head above water for whenever Jordan Love returns. True or false, this defense needs to play better than they did Friday in Sao Paulo.
Yeah, but it's a good offense, man. They're playing a good offense.
True or false, they got to play better because they got to step up. Yes. Like, everybody has to step up.
Yes.
And again, I don't think this is the fault of Jeff Hafley. I don't think they have the players to step up.
Yeah. But you know what Philly's saying? Philly's won the game, and their quarterback's not hurt, but they're saying kind of the exact same thing. Hey, we didn't play great. We didn't play great.
Then that's scary, because I thought they looked really good.
Three turnovers to one.
Yes, agree. And I still was like, pick your poison with this offense. You just mentioned Devontae Smith. We obviously talked about A.J. Brown. We talked about Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, this is a team. And again, when you think about how you construct championship teams, guys, I'm not sitting here playing fantasy football here, although it sounds like it, but this is part of it, isn't it? Like, those guys are stars, bona fide stars.
Yes.
Top five-ish, to your point about A.J. Brown,
at
their respective positions, if you start separating out wide receivers, you know?
Well, you take away that Reed is special, correct? Reed is working his way towards being a star.
Yes, working his way towards there, yes. I would say he's working his way towards
My concerns, Watson, because you plateau. You plateau. Like, Musgrave is a huge question mark for me. Is last year as good as we're going to get out of him? I mean, I didn't see it. Did anyone see that coming? Where Kraft was going to play 96% of the plays?
Especially not after the back injury popped up.
Devontae Wicks, there was talk about him being the number one receiver. And it's one game. Pump the brakes, one game. But I can still sit there and say, did this guy plateau as a sixth round pick, seventh round pick?
Dontavian was a fifth.
Fifth round pick, you know. Dobbs, we know what Dobbs is. The whole triple team was a bunch of caca backed onto our heads.
Well,
we know what he is. He's a
consider the
2/3.
Consider the source.
No, I know.
Consider how the source played then in the game.
Correct.
And then you can understand why he's looking for help now.
Which is fine, because you need like guys like that on the roster. You need a 2/3.
Yeah, like Dobbs is reliable.
Very reliable.
He's not explosive.
Watson, I thought there would be a little more. And then the tight ends. Offensive line, is it about what we expected?
Yeah, there are questions around it, certainly. Still questions about it. You know, you've got two good guys. The biggest question I had about the offensive line, well, one of the bigger questions I think was answered because we were concerned about Zach Tom. And coming off the pec injury, how healthy is he based off of last year in Elton Jenkins? And he started the year slow because he was coming off of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Tom was strong on Friday.
I think Gabe makes the strongest point in this segment, which is with the Jordan Love injury, because that sort of overshadows, puts a cloud over everything. No matter what the defense did in week one, they have to be better in week two to make up for the quarterback being gone. The deficiencies that you will now have on the offensive side of the ball means the defense will have to step up, whether you grade it a B, a C, a D, whatever you think the defense was under Jeff Hafley in his debut. Gabe's point is it has to be better next week. It has to be better than it was the last time you saw it. How? Where can they be better? Tackling? Tackling feels like an area that they could certainly be better in.
So that was another thing when Jeff Hafley's hired. Oh, tackling. The team's going to shore up the tackling. The tackling's going to be better. Kind of looked like it has the last handful of years, has it not?
Yeah.
So that really hasn't improved. I don't know what they were doing in training camp to improve it, but it doesn't really look like it was improved to me.
Well, he's on tape now, too. So now they know how his style of defense. I mean, I know it's one game, but the more and more film you get on Hafley, you're going to see his tendencies and things like that. But I think they're limited. It's like I said.
Yes, they are limited. They're 100% limited.
Some coverages I cannot play because I can't trust XYZ. Right? I can't cut McKinney loose because I just don't trust certain things right now.
Could that also, though, be the uniqueness of what the Eagles posed week one? A running quarterback, one of the best running backs in the league, a monster at wide receiver, right? Like when we were talking, Gabe, you've said it. You said, this is not the team I want to face week one when you're trotting out a new defense.
It would have been nice to start off against the Titans, but guess what the Colts also possess? Stud running back.
Yeah, running back.
Mobile quarterback, who just wants to throw the ball deep, by the way. He just wants to take seven-step drops and chuck it down the field. And while they don't have a stud wide receiver, I mean, they've got a pretty solid receiving core with Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman Jr., and then they drafted Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. So they've got a pretty good set. I mean, again, it's not as good as what the Philadelphia Eagles have, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in. Jared in the 920 saying, Jair was not good. Those big physical wide receivers will beat him. He's still good against CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. So he's saying the size, obviously, difference between the cornerback and the wide receiver is going to be an issue. Don weighing in saying, the Packers need to control Alexander and Nixon's egos. Running out of the end zone was a look-at-me play by both of them, that from Don in Mayville. John saying, people are so weird. They allowed 31 to prolific offense that suck. That sucks. But we had three takeaways and stopped an all-pro back for half a game. I assume he means the first half of the game?
Yeah, because the second half of the game. But again, do whatever you want the first half of the game. You didn't stop him in the second half. When the chips were on the table and you needed to make the stop, you didn't. They gave up 34 points, over 400 yards. If you think that's passing... If you think that's acceptable, then the last 10 years of the Packers' defense has just warped your brain of what is good defense. Because that's what I watched, especially in the second half of that game. That's not good enough. No. That's not a championship-level defense. If we're talking about the Packers potentially making it to a Super Bowl whenever Jordan Love gets healthy, what we saw on Friday night was not good enough.
Would you have felt that way if the outcome was different? If they walk out of Sao Paulo with a win, are you still feeling as disappointed in the defense as you are right now?
Like Malik Willis completes the Hail Mary at the end of the game? No, because it's still, again, the numbers are the numbers. 415 yards, whatever it was, 34 points. You can't be doing that.
Yeah. I mean, but the third down efficiency was pretty good. 4-14 that they held the Packers. Like the red zone, 3-6. That's all right, but the Packers were 1-4.
And then Buzzy from Beloit says, so, if you say, Chew, that we don't have the players to compete on defense, then that is an indictment on Goody and some of the coaching staff, right? Because they drafted and chose those guys, right?
Sure. Sure. Ultimately, teams, if you look at the good teams, they can create pressure with four. Packers cannot. They cannot. And that's the issue.
Is the concern... Help me out here as somebody who does not have as much football knowledge as you have. Is the concern, Shoe, with creating pressure with four, with a mobile quarterback like Jalen, that as soon as you crash, he's gone? Is there something like that? Like, you have to be so assignment sure. You have to be so, like, lane conscious, right? Like,
I don't think Hurts hurt him that much. He hurt him scrambling. But when he took off and ran, I don't think he really hurt him that much. I couldn't tell because I was watching it in a restaurant bar, and I didn't know if they were spying. It's fine. It's fine. If Jordan Love is not hurt, this would be a nothing burger.
No, you'd be still. I mean, there's still questions about the defense. Sure, but that doesn't change anything about the defense.
Yeah, like you guys disagree on this. Is my point. Like he feels very strong.
But we knew it was going to be a work in process. In progress.
Sure, but I was hoping the work in progress wasn't 134 yards, 109 or 34 points, 410 yards, 109 to Saquon Barkley.
But to
I was
be
hoping
fair,
the work in progress would be, you know, less than 30 points.
When would it have progressed? There was no preseason. Like, again, for all of the conversation we have had about no preseason and how it affects the offense and sloppy and clunky and timing and stuff, same for the defense, right? Or did you think that bringing in a new scheme was just going to... bibbidi-bobbidi-boo it into top five.
It lets me know that guys that we were hoping would take that step, and like Quay Walker, he's limited in what he actually is, right?
He's not a superstar.
No, can't be. And that's part of the issue, right? Like, okay, well, these guys were just being used wrong under the previous regime.
Yeah.
Then how come it looks so damn similar?
Yeah.
Shouldn't he have been used differently?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, they look like a 15.
Yeah, they're middle of the pack. Yeah.
I'm curious where people stand on this. Chewy's saying that if Jordan Love doesn't get hurt, the defense and the way that they performed it would be a nothing burger. Gabe is saying, actually, it was very disappointing, and he needs to see more from them. Where are you on Jeff Hafley's defense? I guess I am willing to say I expect it to get better. I expect it to improve. Chewy, you would know better than I do, again, about how much a defensive coordinator is willing to show, even against a top-tier opponent in week one. Isn't there a little bit of, like, protect state secrets?
No,
isn't there,
not when you're playing a team like that. He threw everything out there at him. But with that, Jen, he can look at this tape and go, I can't run that.
See, I just assumed, and you're telling me I was wrong, I just assumed that there was sort of like a, you got something hanging out that you can bring out later in the year.
I mean, you're always coming up with exotic blitzes, so he might be watching the Buffalo-Arizona game. We did the same things. Everyone in the league does. It'd be like, oh, I like that combination of blitz. I'm not going to do it this week because everyone else is looking, but I'll put that in the kitty for 4 weeks down the road. We do the same thing with plays offensively. We're like, hey, this team ran that. We're not going to run it this week. We're going to practice it. It's going to be in. We're not going to run it until we do it good, and then we're going to run it. So that happens. So, hey, it's fine. Take a deep breath. It's fine. Okay?
When's it not fine?
I also want to know how much you're charging him for stealing your trademark.
Look, I mean, are there royalties involved?
It's a good line.
Yeah.
It's a good line.
But guess what? You just straight ripped it off.
But guess what? This guy can afford it. It's fine.
It's fine.
As long as you're seeing some change. That's all I'm saying, Gabe. Like, that's your thing.
I'm getting
thing.
The exposure from the big guy saying
it. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I love it when they pay me an exposure at this point.
Join me out at Wisconsin Country Club, where we have no assessments ever, no food and beverage minimums, and my favorite part, the beautiful course that is challenging. It's why I decided to join the Wisconsin Country Club last year. I love the practice facility. I love being able to get out and play some golf. Took some friends out there. They really enjoyed it this weekend as well. Maybe you're looking for a club that has more than golf, though. Pool, tennis, pickleball, they've got it all at the Wisconsin Country Club. So during the summer, you can go to those themed Sunday fun days with your family at the pool. Make sure you check us out, thewisconsincountryclub.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's
like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know, we've got that new betting show out at Pottawatomie on Wednesday nights. Me, Ben, and Greg. Weekly wager. Make sure you turn in from 6 to 7 p.m. each and every Wednesday of the football season. And my best bet for last week was Saquon Barkley plus over 19.5 for receiving yards. He hit 23.
Mm.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Wasn't that one play, too?
Good, I think it was two.
The touchdown pass.
Touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, it was, and that was it. And I was like, but again, I went back and looked at how Saquon Barkley had been used in the passing game previously, obviously in New York, and he always averaged over 20 receiving yards per game. So I thought that was a pretty safe bet, ended up winning that one. And I want to put this on the record, guys. I know we like to joke here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy about my betting record, but I actually won a lot of bets this weekend. I took Duke over Northwestern, cha-ching. I took Iowa State over Iowa, cha-ching. Those are money lines. I did the Saquon Barkley bet. And then yesterday, I took Dallas money line, and they absolutely smoked the Browns. Mm. And a little nail-biter action, a little adrenaline rush. I took Deshaun Watson under 179.5 passing yards, and hit that one as well.
So what was your record for the week?
4-2.
All right. So we're going to track this the rest of the season
Absolutely.
Now, right?
Absolutely. Fine by me.
All right. Because here's the problem, Jen. You start bragging about how great your week was.
Yeah, there's going to be there's going to be a valley in
it. Did you do the SAT thing again? That bet?
Oh, cover five? I don't think we're doing a cover five league this year.
But Gabe is in a league, and that's what I wanted
to get. Not anymore.
I don't know what you're talking about, Chad. I don't have to worry about anything
anymore. Gabe was in a league.
Yes.
Tell us about the Survivor League you were in, Gabe.
Took Cincinnati. And now I'm no longer in the Survivor League, Jen.
One pump chump.
What happened?
That's kind of funny.
I don't know what you mean, what happened. Ask the Bengals. Ask Joe Burrow. Ask the tight end who fumbled at the goal line.
Was that, was that the biggest surprise?
Yeah. Oh, by far.
I don't know. I think Dallas, Cleveland, how bad Cleveland looked, you know.
But how is that shocking?
Is Dallas good? Or is Cleveland bad?
They were last year.
Yeah, Dallas was good last year. Cleveland being good all depended upon Deshaun Watson, and he hasn't been good for 5 years.
He's bad.
Yeah, he's bad.
Also, I have some numbers here, Gabe. 43% of all Survivor leagues picked the Bengals and are now not home.
Whoa.
All
right,
so the good news is here that enough people got it wrong that hopefully we get, you know, like, it just, everybody runs and we get a couple more upsets next week. Yep. And we get an early winner, and then Lance Romance just restarts the league.
Oh, you could do that.
Oh, absolutely. Just start up, you know, hopefully a handful of weeks into the season. And
so, for instance, everybody takes the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs lose.
Correct.
And then whoop, yep. Just kind of wipes out the field.
Cleans house.
Yeah, and then we can start another one, like 5 weeks in or something.
It's also not unprecedented for leagues to just not have a winner and to have to re-rack.
Yeah.
That is also a thing that happens.
Yeah, where people get knocked out.
I would assume that a lot of people took them.
Well, yeah, so Josh just said 43% in Survivor Leagues. 43%, almost half of all the picks. It was the biggest line of the week.
Sure.
Like, there wasn't any huge mismatch, you know, where you had the Chiefs taking on the Titans or anything like that. So 7.5 was the biggest line out there. So I'm like, okay, I'll take the safe one. I'll take Cincinnati here, try to get more information on everybody else and try to figure it out going forward. And, well, I got nothing to figure out going forward.
Should've probably
just kind
of
free you, though, doesn't it? Isn't it a little nice not to have that pressure week in and week out?
No.
We want the pressure.
I want the pressure. Pressure is a privilege, Jen.
This is why I gamble. I can't believe I have to keep explaining it to you guys. The adrenaline rush I had watching to see if Deshaun Watson was able to throw. Again, they were down 20-plus points in the fourth quarter. 20 points in the fourth quarter. And yet I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, interception. Or, oh, God, oh, God, incompletion.
He threw the ball 45 times.
No, it's a crazy stat line, isn't it?
It's bad process on my part, but I don't like betting unders for that simple reason. Like, you can be dead right and things just don't go your way. Oh, and you, especially with the court, you're just gripping your seat the entire time.
Yeah,
every single thing matters.
It was a little fun, if I'm being honest.
Overs are more fun, yeah, though, right?
We put it on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll. Where are you on the Seinfeld scale of concern right now regarding the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love set to miss 3 to 6 weeks? Yada, yada, yada. That's where the big guy is. I am stressed. And Gabe, you're freaking out.
I'm freaking out.
We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because we have the debut, the 2024 debut of Rob Domofsky, your Green Bay Packers reporter for ESPN, up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and you should be stocking your freezer full of Palermo's Pizza. No matter what kind of pizza you're looking for, you like a little bit of a thicker crust, a thinner crust, you know, something more artisan, they're going to have something for you no matter what. Because with Palermo's, their family of brands includes not just Palermo's, but Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy, and Screamin' Sicilian. I mean, just think about all the different brands they have under Screamin' Sicilian. The reason why they have all these brands, they've been doing it for 60 years right here in Wisconsin. So when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza, of course Palermo's knows what they're doing. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
What's the biggest mistake that new quarterback made? Turnovers. And he hasn't had it.
And mating rituals.
The Shedd Aquarium in Chicago was one of my favorite school fields. And I believe there were dolphins there, but they left that out.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
Wow, I'm a little, it's only love. It's only love.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How lucky are we to have Rob Domofsky joining our show each and every week to talk about the green and gold. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
Great, Jen. We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
You have any suggestions? You got any theme music you want? Some entrance music for yourself?
I think, Gabe, this better be a great segment because all of that intro from last year was from the very first week after the Bears. So we better just come up with some good content here that Josh can put together.
Oh, no pressure, guys. All right, well, let's start with this then. How confident should Packers fans be in Malik Willis as the guy who will be stepping in under center, according to that Jay Glazer report, in Jordan Love's absence?
Well, Jen, this is a guy who has started three games, and it was 2 years ago. He has 222 career snaps in regular season games. Now that is, let me do the math here, 222 minus Sean Clifford's 13 snaps is what? That's 208 more snaps or seven. I'm terrible at math. However many more snaps he has than Sean Clifford's 13, which is their only other option, really. So I don't think there's should be confident at all, and that's not a knock on Malik Willis necessarily, but let's go back to the times when the Packers starting quarterback has missed games before, and not necessarily under Matt LaFleur. There's only one of those, and it's the Jordan Love start in Kansas City. But previous to that, the two collarbone years, they were 5-10-1 in games without Aaron Rodgers in those two seasons. And, what's 5 out of 16 for a winning percentage? It's not great.
Rob, why the big discrepancy between Musgrave and Kraft playing time?
I'll tell you this, Chewy. That is reflective of what we saw in training camp, because last year, remember how we would rave about Luke Musgrave and he's getting 3, 4, 5, 6 targets every day in training camp practice. He didn't get many. And when Tucker Kraft came back from that pectoral injury, and I specifically remember the joint practice against the Ravens, I mean, he was outstanding. He had several catches in the move the ball period against the Ravens. And I even said on, I can't remember, I think it was Gabe, or was it KBN's show that I said I thought Tucker Kraft, no, it was my bold prediction on Wilde and Tausch's Boldathon that Tucker Kraft would catch 50 passes this year.
What grade would you give the defense from Friday night?
I'd give it a C+, and maybe that's better than most people would. And here's why, Gabe, that first of all, it's a new defense, right? Let's not like make any rash judgments after one game. But second of all, one of the biggest things that I thought the defense lacked last year under Joe Barry was quite simply takeaways. I mean, they had 7 interceptions for the entire season last year. Right away, Xavier McKinney gets one. Jair gets one later. It was a bit of a kind of a goofy play. They had the fumble recovery. I mean, takeaways are more important to me than almost anything else in defensive football. And look, he preached aggressiveness, and there was a great stat from ESPN Stats and Info that I believe Pathley blitzed 9 times. And Jalen Hurts picked it apart for like 91 yards and a touchdown. I think it was like 6 out of 8 passing, and then had 1 scramble against the blitz. I mean, so look, all right, the blitz didn't work, but it doesn't mean it's not going to ever work. And I do like the aggressive style.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There's been a lot of talk over the last 24 hours about them going out and getting someone else, Ryan Tannehill. I know we've decided Malik is the guy they are going with. Why the conflicting reports out there? Why they talked to Ryan Tannehill? No, they didn't talk to anybody. Gabe's position was they were trying to protect Malik Willis's confidence. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I certainly think it's possible. I also think it's possible that they reached out to Ryan Tannehill in the past, possibly over the summer, and the timeline of when they reached out may be misreported there. But I'll tell you this, Ryan Tannehill made $195 million in his career. He's not coming back for a couple of million dollars to play 3 or 4 games. Like that's just, it is, whether they reached out to him or didn't, Ryan Tannehill is not coming back under those circumstances. And that's, I believe that. I've heard that. I just don't think that's happening. Whether they did reach out to him or didn't, he's not playing for that. And, you know, it's funny because everybody's like, why don't they just reach out to this guy? Why don't they just sign this guy? maybe those guys don't want to do it. And I think that's the case in Ryan Tannehill.
Rob, how'd the O-line play?
Chewy, I didn't think they played great, to be honest, especially early. You know, early on, they couldn't run the ball very well. I don't know about that the rotation. You know, I understand why they're doing it with Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan, but I didn't think it was good enough, especially in the run game.
So if the offensive line isn't playing great, what do you think the offensive game plan needs to be for them to have the most success in these 3-4, maybe even more games that Jordan Love is going to be out?
Well, first of all, Gabe, what's Indianapolis going to do, right? They're going to load the box, aren't they? And they're going to say, you know what, the only threat that we see there is Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson, who, by the way, Emmanuel Wilson had a nice little game for himself, I thought.
Yeah.
They're going to have to get some quick hitting play action stuff. It's the only way that they're going to be able to get Indianapolis to respect Malik Willis. And look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early. But it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff. I don't know if there's going to be as much traditional motion that Matt LaFleur would like to use. But I think they got to find a way to get the ball out of his hands quickly and make Indianapolis respect it at least a little bit. Because if they're going to have success, they've got to be able to run the ball. They've got to be able to shorten the game. They've got to win games what was the Patriots score yesterday?
16 to 10.
Yeah. They're going to have to win a game or two that way. And I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong. Let's just say he's out. Let's say he misses the short end and it's only 3 games. So 4 games total. I really think if they win one of them, they're fine. Like, and 1-3 isn't ideal, but win one. I mean, like, how long did it take in 13 for them to win a game? It went from Seneca Wallace to Scott Tolzien to finally Matt Flynn. And I realize Matt Flynn's not coming back, but I think if they
have we called him.
Hey, Tom Bevins would probably like to have him since Tom was the guy back then. But the I just think that if they can win a game, ideally, it would be one of the ones here, the next couple, and not go 0-3 and win one. But if they can win one, if they're 1-3, or if he's going to miss more than that time, 2-4, something like that, I don't think it's a total disaster. We obviously saw him get to 9 wins at 2-5, so you certainly can get to 10 wins at 2-3 or 1-3.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he will each and every Monday during the NFL season. One of the points that Gabe made earlier in this show was that with Jordan Love being out, you need the other units to step up. You need the defense to play better than they played week one. You need special teams to play better than week one, which brings me to Braden Narveson. How should people feel about his performance in Brazil?
You know, I thought they did a... By chance, they did a good job easing him into it with some short field goals. Not that that was the plan, but I think it's a little troubling that he missed the one off the right upright. I mean, that's you would have liked to have him get through the first game where he had a perfect game on however many opportunities, and you could sort of take the pressure off. Now the pressure is just mounting. I mean, it's every kick is even more intensified than ever before. So I think they've got to get that figured out. And I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but from a special teams perspective, I can't wait till we talk to Rich Bisaccia on Thursday and ask him what he told Keyshawn Nixon on that last kickoff return. Was he supposed to bring it out from 8 yards deep? Was he not? Valuable seconds. What, 8 seconds ripped off the clock, I believe, there. When I went back, I think it went from, 30 to 22 or something like that. That I don't understand that. And if that was coached, I think that's a problem. If Keyshawn Nixon was coached differently and didn't listen, that's a problem. So I think there's some issues there.
And then Rob, what's up with Wicks? I mean, is he parallel to Musgrave now? Just nothing special in camp, may have plateaued. He was targeted. He had one for sure drop. What's going on there?
Yeah. I graded it 2, Chewy. I mean, sure, 2 drops.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go back. I have not looked at yet what the ESPN stats and info people have had, but I go back to the whole the old Joe Philbin standard. If you can touch it, you can catch it.
Yeah.
I thought those were both drops. Obviously, the field conditions played into it. I'm not ready to write off Dontavian Wicks at all. In fact, I think he's going to be still a big part of this offense. He was a fifth round pick, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like he was, he impressed some people last year, but it's not like he's going to be flawless, right away again this year. He's still very much a player in development who, probably took a hit of confidence. And there was the one throw to him. I don't think it was a drop, but it was later in the game. And, it just was a little off the mark and Mack the turf there a little bit. So you can see some frustration mm-hmm. on his part that they're going to have to rein in a little bit. And, it might be tough for these receivers the next couple of weeks because, there may not be huge yardage opportunities, but when they get them, they're going to have to catch them. You cannot have, I think Dobbs had a drop too, right? I think you cannot have, you can't have one or two drops, let alone three. I had three written down. Two for Wicks and one for Dobbs. So, you can't have three drops when you're playing a backup quarterback. You've got to catch everything that guy puts in your vicinity because he's going to need all the help he can get.
You brought up the field conditions, Rob, and I know it was a big talking point for fans on social media during the game. It was a big talking point everywhere because, I saw some pictures after the game where, one of the end zones looked like a beat-up driving range. Mm-hmm. It was just bad, just chunks of turf missing out of the end zone. The NFL doesn't care, right?
Maybe after you were laying the sod over some wet. My divots are small. look, they don't care. And, I put not all of it on the league, but, certainly there's the issue of they didn't get into the stadium until the day of the game, right? Like, had they had a walkthrough type practice there the day before, maybe you had a better feel, but warm-ups should have given you a better feel. And look, not to bring up an old Mike McCarthyism, but why weren't they wearing the seven studs,
yeah,
right? Get the right cleats. Like, that's first of all. And I will say they must have made some adjustments because in the second half it didn't seem quite as bad. I also wonder how much of it's just the weather conditions. I wasn't there, thankfully. It's the first road game I've missed in a long, long time, and I wasn't overly sad about it. But the weather, it's late at night. I mean, the dew on the grass, Gabe, I know after like a tough round of golf and you're laying in bed at 10 o'clock at night and you can't sleep because you missed that wedge way right on you go out to the backyard and just take some swings in the middle of the night and the grass is kind of dewy. Well, that game started at 9:15 local time in Brazil. I don't know. I'm not a Brazilian climate expert, but I wonder if there was a little bit of something there.
All right, last thing for you, Rob, before we let you go. The preseason, I'm guessing, isn't changing, and yet it does feel like a lot of teams were sloppy. A lot of teams were, not their best selves week one, and the only thing I can think is because you're not getting the reps you need in the preseason to shake that rust off. What is the league going to do? Do they care that week one looked like it looked?
You know what they're going to do? Jen, they're going to take away another preseason game, and they're going to have a regular season game, and the season's going to start Labor Day weekend, and the Super Bowl is going to end on Selection Sunday or whatever in mid-March. No, I joked with those guys on Wednesday that if the league had its druthers, they'd start Memorial Day weekend. They'd start Labor Day weekend and they'd end the season Memorial Day weekend and they'd play 30 games and there'd be a 6 week off season and then training camp would start after 4th of July or whatever.
He's Rob Domofsky. He joins us each and every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Rob, enjoy the rest of your week. We very much look forward to the reports coming out of 1265.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's funny. I was thinking that as he was saying it. I was like, wow, he's really taking some shots.
I thought Rob had somehow heard about my issue with wedges this year and how I hit a couple of chunky ones yesterday.
And you lose sleep over that?
I did too, Gabe. I hit from middle of the fairway, 130 yards away. I dumped one in a bunker and made double, and I wanted to snap it over my knee.
Yeah, that's tough.
But you don't because they're expensive, right? Well,
unless you're the big guy and you just don't care.
That's right.
I actually snapped one at Black Wolf Run. It was my buddy's bachelor party, and he all got us new Vokey wedges, Rob. snapped it on the third hole right in front of him, and I was like, "Oh, sorry." Right in front of him.
At least it was your own, and you didn't grab it out of his bag and snap it.
I guess, but it also was a gift.
I know.
All right, Oops. Rob. We'll talk to you again soon. We got to take a break. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we roll on right after this. For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It's nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity, delighting in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. Every bite is a work of culinary artistry at Aria. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as well.
They don't work. They're called poop. They're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
We go.
It doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, maybe you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy that you had a year or two or three ago. Those could be signs of low testosterone. They were for me, and now I work with Mentality. Have the energy levels back up, I can attack my day, and whether you want to admit it or not, work can be a competition. So make sure you're feeling at your best by working with Mentality. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about their customized testosterone treatment plans. lowtusa.com.
Metronome.
Man, I'm up to something.
Will the intelligence will be all over the developments in the Packers' land when their show kicks off in just a few minutes. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Where are you on the Seinfeld scale of concern right now regarding the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love set to miss 3 to 6 weeks? Oh, I'm stressed, running away with this thing with 60% of the vote. And I imagine that is because Malik Willis is an unproven commodity at the most important position for your franchise.
It's going to be interesting defensively. I haven't seen him enough to whether you want to keep him in the pocket or do you want to blitz him. I wouldn't think you want to blitz him. Because he can run.
But it could also confuse him. I mean, usually blitzing against younger quarterbacks is a pretty sound strategy across the league.
He has to earn his money this week. Gotta earn his money. This game is, defense doesn't even matter. It's all about offense.
I think the defense matters a little bit.
Colts don't scare you.
Excuse me?
I mean, they don't scare you.
They do.
Yeah, they got a great running back. He didn't do much against Houston.
Sure.
The cyborg at quarterback is the concern.
Yeah, that's a concern.
He completed 9 passes for 212 yards.
What does that average out to, guys? Again, math, not the strong suit for me, as you know, on the SAT, but that seems pretty good.
Yeah. It's a high amount of yards. He's just going back and he slipped, still recovered, and then completed a 60-yard bomb.
So when
yesterday.
He goes in, when LaFleur goes into Halfley's office today and says, "How many points do I have to score on Sunday to win?" What does Halfley laugh? 22. Please say a single digit. Please.
Jay Wellens weighing in saying, "The crews at ESPN Milwaukee are full of homers. Let's tell it like it is this time. It's over." Oh. This lifelong Packers fan is looking forward to next season. Jay Wellens, no.
It's not over.
There's so much of the season left. And if you can get Jordan Love back at the front end of this timetable, and he misses just 3 of the 3 to 6 or 3 to 4, depending on who you believe, that will be okay. Remember, they played like caca the whole first half of last year and figured it out in the second half and made the playoffs and won a playoff game. It is not over. If you take anything from our show this morning, please let it be that.
I mean, the Titans really stink. They can win that game.
He can't watch them during the playoffs at the end of the season. He's banned.
Oh,
I like it.
Don't want to hear or see from you.
Joshy now has a list. Should we start the show with a list? Now Joshy has a list. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.